Ladies and gentlemen, fighting out of the traditional personal finance corner, he hails from Princeton, New Jersey, USA. He is the Sultan of Saving, the Count of Common Sense. Let's get ready for Practical!
Pumped, pumped, pumped. Hello, everyone. This is Frank Sasso, and as always, I have the practical guy himself here with me, Mr. Scott Newman. What do you got, Scott?
I have my alter ego here, another practical
guy. Your alter ego, that's right. You know him from New Jersey, 101.5, the Steve Trevelise Show. Mr. Steve Trevelise, I can't believe you're sitting here. You could be in so many other places right now.
I could be walking a dog that I don't have. And here I am doing the practical guy. You know how many excuses I tried to come up with and not be here? And here I am, practically speaking. This is a big show, man. I heard the legend of the practical guy podcast.
You heard the legend.
There's a buzz. People call the show in several different languages asking when they can get the practical guy. Some women want to get hooked up with the practical guy. Now I'm here. I find out what it's all about. Like Brian Epstein, the day he was in NEMS Records and a kid came in saying, "Can I hear my Bonnie from the Beatles?" And he went to the Cavern Club and the rest was history. This is my Cavern Club.
But Steve, I get a lot of followers. I get a lot of groupies because, you know, at age 50, I saved $800,000 for retirement.
You did?
Yes.
Am I getting paid for this?
You're not getting paid for this. But I did it in the real world. You've actually saved some money and you work all these jobs in a world where nobody saves. Would you agree?
You know what? Sometimes it depends on who the person is.
Okay.
Some guys have been saving their money forever, right. And some guys, see, it depends on when they started. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of people in the 80s that put a lot of what they should have saved up their nose.
Right.
But I knew in the 80s, I had a DJ business. I made a lot of money. I bought a house with the money because I knew that no matter, this business was shaky, and it always is, and it still is. But radio, the first thing I needed to know was that I was going to have a place to live. So I bought a house. And I did it with cash. At that point, I have to worry about it. Using the house, I was able to leverage whatever other ventures I wanted to get into. I've owned 2 coffee houses. I've owned 2 different comedy clubs. The DJ business, after a while, you make a lot of money, but you burn on it. You don't want to be 40 years old doing Sweet 16s. You don't want to be 50 years old doing Sweet 16s and weddings. And to those people that do it, God bless you. It's great money. It's a lot of money for a little bit of time. I think the average wedding job now makes like $1,000 for 4 hours. Mm-hmm. Not bad. You walk in, you play an hour of listening music, you read some announcements, you play some dinner music, you do 2 hours of the same dance set, you're out the door, and the crowd is amazing. And I'll tell you, like, the difference between radio and mobile DJing, and a friend of mine who has his own business, John Weber, once said, he worked in radio as well, and he said, "I've never had a general manager come up to me, hand me a $100 tip, and ask me if I had enough to eat." Happens every weekend, and that's the difference. But with radio, the money's a lot different. You don't make real money in radio until you get to the major markets. And New Jersey 101.5 now is a major market. You know, the top markets being New York, followed by Chicago, followed by Los Angeles, followed by Houston, followed by Philly. Used to be 5, I think it's down to 8 now. Boston, I think, is 10. But what's unique about New Jersey 101.5, it's a combination of markets 1 and, you know, New York and Philly. From Jersey, I'm hitting everybody. I come in crystal clear in Philly. I come in crystal clear in Manhattan. So that's our competition. And in New Jersey, when you look at the numbers, we're number 1. I mean, it's us, huge step down, everybody else.
Most people, you're talking about calls you would get for guys in radio or even TV. They're taking the house now. We were talking earlier.
Yeah.
How did you learn, though, to put the money away?
One thing, I never got into drugs.
So, which is always a good decision.
People have money.
Are there a lot of people that are into drugs in this business?
It's hard to say for me because back when I was, you know, when you grow up and you get married and you have kids, you know, you're not hanging out at the radio station anymore. For me, in the 80s and the early 90s, you know, when you're in your 20s and the whole world is in their 20s and you're in the clubs and you're doing, you know, you're in the entertainment world, of course there's tons of drugs and stuff in the entertainment world. And everybody was doing it. I never did it. I just, for whatever reason, probably too cheap, never got into it.
Yeah.
So it was a different, you know, it was a different animal. I grew up a diehard Beatle fan. And by reading John Lennon's, the book by Hunter Davis on John Lennon, and what fascinated me about the Beatles is that these guys just had, they were able to control the world. And when you study the breakdown of how they were able to do it, you had four guys who grew up in a ghetto with no education. Somehow, everything lined up right with the planets, that they were able to control the world, and the way they looked at the world. And the first thing they needed to be able to look down at the world was the money. Mm-hmm. The second thing they needed was the attitude. I had the attitude, where am I going to get the money? Guy comes to me and says, you know, we can make a lot of money spinning records at people's houses, doing parties. And I'm like, that's ridiculous. Can't do that. And I found out that you could do that. So what I did was I had a job on a radio station making minimum wage, but I hired all the other DJs, offered them $100 an hour to go out and do parties. Now, when you're making $265 an hour in 1978, and somebody comes up to you and says, I'm going to give you $200 a weekend, and you're going to work 8 hours, you pretty much own them. They'll do anything for you. So now, what we did from 1979 till maybe, say, 97, I hired all the jocks where I was. My second goal, I don't want to work. Now, this is before the internet, so people would call me up going, yeah, I'd like to hire a DJ for my wedding. I want you. No, I can't do it. So by hiring 10 guys, having them all first, I'm sorry, I'm already working. Would you like so-and-so? Well, really? Well, where can I hear Dave Heffel? Well, turn on WPSD tomorrow morning. Oh, my God! They hear it, and then they want it. So Dave now went off on his own, and he has 5 guys working for him, and he does very well. Mm-hmm. As he's also doing Sirius Satellite. He's also writing for one of the top radio trades. But you see, the point is, I'm in a business radio, which allows me to do many things. So back then, I'm 23 years old. I've got 10 guys out working for me. I'm doing morning drive on PST. I've got the highest ratings in Jersey. And I'm making 6 figures back then. One day, I got called to Philadelphia. Somebody heard my show and offered me a job down there. But at that point, at 23, now I'm thinking, okay, I got all this money. What am I going to do? And I started interviewing. I remember Charles Gibbons. I talked to him. I had a public affairs show on YSP, which allowed me access to anybody. So I would bring in all these financial experts and just get ideas. So the idea, like Givens, was great, because the idea with insurance, for instance, like auto insurance, instead of going for the $200 deductible, get a $2,000 deductible. You're never going to use it. And if you need it, you put it on a credit card. I'd rather put the $2,000 on a credit card if I ever needed it, but not have to pay it every year for something that would never happen. But it was things like that. The credit cards, finding the lowest interest, things like that. But the point is, the way I bought my house, it was 1984. My rent was going up. I saw the house in the paper. They wanted $62,000 with a VA assumable mortgage, which means you don't need anything. All you got to do, you're buying the payment book. With my business, I could do that. I was taking over a $33,000 payment. He wanted 60, so I had to come up with, bottom line, $25,000 to buy the house. So I said, look, here's what I'll do. I'll rent the house for a year with the option to buy. I'll give you $100 over the purchase price. If at the end of the year I don't buy the house, keep the money, sell it at next year's market value. If I do take the house, deduct the $100 and the $800 security off, so it's $2,000 off the top, which brings me to $25,000. So I have 1 year to make $25,000. I got 10 guys out in the street doing parties for me. I'm hosting, I'm doing radio appearances, weddings, bar mitzvahs. When it came time to do the buy, the year later, and during that year, since I'm now the landlord, I'm now the tenant, Mr. Landlord, I need a furnace, Mr. Landlord, I need gutters, Mr. Landlord, I need, so I got the house done. By the time I was ready to move in, I was set. But the key, get the money. Well, the first thing I do to get the money, you gotta ask yourself, what can I do to bring in the most amount of money? And how can I make it work? Pat Cooper, legendary comic.
Yes, of course.
I had a conversation with Pat Cooper once, and he explained show business. Richard Jenny, I opened for him. We talked for an hour and a half. He explained show business. How do you make it work for you? And that's the thing. So as far as getting the money, whatever field you're going to be in, you have to maximize it. I knew that radio was going to take me, it took me 5 years to get to the major markets, but I knew that what I was going to make in those 5 years wasn't going to give me anything. But then for me, it became, it wasn't about radio, it was about the microphone. What can I do? I can talk into this microphone. Okay, what can I do? I could be on the radio. Or I could spin parties. I can take this microphone and go entertain at parties. At parties, and then I can get $250 for 4 hours. You know, now they're getting a grand, a plus. But back then, so if I get one guy, and if I get other radio guys, and I give them the equipment, and I give them the music, and I teach them how to do it, now I can make money on that. So the secret is, how, you know, Donald Trump, art of the deal. Let them work. You make more money not working than you do working. If I got to work a 40-hour week, I now have to spend 40 hours doing a job. Mm-hmm. If I had 40 hours to think about making money, oh boy, what I could do. Right? If I gave you a job, and I said, your job is to sit at that desk with your name and a computer and a phone, make as much money as you can, how much would you make? But most people would never do it because nobody's giving them $1,000 a week. So therefore, they lament later. First thing you got to do is you want to be a comedian. So it's like, okay, how do I make money in comedy? And we taught this in the class. You make money in comedy by, first of all, being a comedian and telling jokes. Secondly, by going out and booking fundraisers. If you go book a fundraiser for $2,000 and your budget is $2,000, if you spend $1,000 on comedians, you're putting $1,000 in your pocket for the same 90-minute show. If you get yourself out there to where, you know, you're well-liked in that community, in the, you know, in the fundraising community, fundraising trade shows, weddings, right? You go to wedding planners because they all book comedians. Who's out there tonight? We're doing a show, Catch a Rising Star. There's a bridal party out there because that's what they want. They want comedians. So you go in and we'll give you guys a private show. But the idea being that you're making money from being on stage telling your jokes. You're making money from booking fundraisers. Maybe you want to do a comedy night. Maybe you want to put on a concert. Maybe you want to get ambitious and you go and you rent a theater. And you get a theater for a couple of $1,000s. You go out and get an entertainer for a couple of $1,000s. Then you sell tickets. And if you could fill the theater,
then you're set. Yeah.
And you advertise.
See, what's amazing sitting around here, okay, you're the host on WIP, 101.5, one of the highest rated stations. It's almost like talking to Susie Orman here. And how did you get that? Most people don't have that.
Really? Survival. It was an interest. Survival. It was like, I got a wife and kids. I got to make money. I mean, what do I do? And again, you know, you boil it all down. For me, it was the microphone. Mm-hmm. I just looked at the microphone and said, how many ways, I can't sing, what else can I do? So with the microphone, I was able to, in my life so far, I was able to be a talk radio, and radio, talk show host, rock jock, country co-host in the morning, traffic reporter, news anchor, sportscaster, program director, radio salesman. I've held every job from the microphone. Yeah. What else can I do? I can go to people's, I can spin records. I can do weddings, bar mitzvahs. I can do mobile DJ work. The microphone. I could be a comedian. I can go on stage. I could tell jokes. I could book fundraisers. I could put on major shows. We went to resorts, over 1,000 people in seats. How do you do it? You know, it's the microphone. And you learn from that. You say, okay, well, this is going to be my money. Where do I invest the money? Then it becomes simply trying to find the best deal, trying to find the best way. I grew up a big fan of McHale's Navy and Sergeant Bilko. And it was always the con, using your head to get out of a situation. You know, and it's the same thing with this. There's got to be an easier way. There's got to be a more direct way. When you're Italian, you're always looking, I know somebody, know somebody. No, it's not that. I don't do this, I know somebody. And you think, I grew up in Union City with a lot of that. So you have this attitude. You have this attitude. It's kind of like this Beatlesque attitude. We got this. We're better than this. We got it figured out. We're too smart to have not have this. And when you think that way, you'll become that way. And once you get that sense, the rest is easy because it's like puzzle pieces on a table that will all come together for you.
Exactly. And it's like you said before about the Beatles, you know, four kids from the ghetto, they get together, they think differently, they act differently, and they go ahead and change the world musically.
Because in 1946, World War II ended, and we were so happy about it, they jumped in bed. And in 1963, there were more 17-year-olds in the world than ever before. And the young president in America gets gunned down. And in 1964, America is looking for a leader. Here comes four guys from Liverpool, each with its own distinct personality. Pick your poison.
Right, right.
And America falls in love to the point where everything they did was mimicked.
Right.
They put on sunglasses. Everybody wore sunglasses. Right. And it was the music and it was the message. So if you're sitting there and you're saying, you know what? I get a message. You know, I got music, but you know what I mean? Comedy. What's comedy? You know, comedy is where you look it in the eye, you look the world in the eye, you laugh in its face.
Pretty
and
much,
people
yeah.
gravitate to that. It was their personality that made it work. But, it's Howard Stern. He looks the world in the eye, he laughs in their face. And even though you're going to go back to your life, you're going to drive to your job, you're going to go back to your everyday existence, but when you're listening to Howard, you're part of something. You're part of four guys, Jackie and Fred, and I did the updates on that show for 10 years. And it was the great. You couldn't wait to hear what Howard had to say. There are a few guys that can get that, but if you see that in your head, now you're thinking of, okay, I can make my next move. I can align the planets because it'll break for you because it's how you think. Comedian today, never been easier. You've got talk radio shows every hour giving you topics. What do you think of this? What do you think of that? There are so many people. Doris and Rico Park, Short Al, John from the Northeast, Mike from South Carolina. These guys who are people who are known throughout the Delaware Valley simply because they call talk radio shows every day. Joe Beningo from The Fan started off as a caller to Mike and Mad Dog. And he went to the Connecticut School of Broadcasting course, and now he's got the middays at The Fan. But the point is, as a comedian, if you want the whole secret, you got to get your name out there. You got to get known, and the more you can get known, any way you can. So even if you're that guy, Captain Jenks, Tom Cipriani, used to call news stations and fake accidents and get Baba Booey on the air. Howard loved him. Made a star out of him.
But how are you able to think like this? Most people are so full and focused on themselves.
Because they don't spend any time thinking like this. I spend all my time thinking like
right.
this. How are songwriters or comedy writers able to write great songs and great comedy? It's all they think about. So if I said to you in your everyday line, Scott, take time out from finances and write a song, it'll take you forever. Or say to Paul Simon, write a song. He already has a schematic in his head. Bing, he gets it. And you have to train yourself to think like this. See the bigger picture. Step back. Radio, like talk radio, is all about peeling an onion. When I want to learn something, I find the best guy at it.
Yeah.
And I simply ask him, how you doing? When I got the sports talk show, in my opinion, Mike Missinelli is the best sports talk host I've ever heard. I call him up. Mike, I got a job. How do I do this? And we met at Dunkin' Donuts, and he broke it down for me. He said, you do it. That. And it was good of him. Most guys, you know, don't want to know you. But, you know, comedians. You know, I worked at Catch a Rising Star. So every week, and when I worked at Catch a Rising Star, it was a national club. We had national acts. You'd come in here, you do a week here, then you go to Atlantic City, do resorts, then you go to Providence, do a week, then you go to Reno. So we would get national acts. And I'm sitting here, a student of the game, watching, breaking down, talking to these guys, drinking with them, and just, how do you do this? How do you do that? What if that is? And explain. We had a comic here, Joey Gay, ended up on Last Comic Standing. One of the funniest guys we ever had here. And I remember Joey, a guy named Joey Medina is on stage. And Joey's standing in the back room watching him, and he's breaking down his act. And by breaking down, I mean just analyzing it. And there's one point where Joey Medina's on stage, and he's just looking at the crowd. And Joey's like, he doesn't know what to do next. Now, for me to be up there now, I'm going to look like a Gugutz going, what do I do next? But he knew by watching. And when you looked at Joey Medina, the last thing you thought of, because he had that steely-eyed, like, I'm going to cut you up right now. And in his mind, he's thinking, what am I going to do next? But you don't know that. It's little things.
Right. But you hear voices on 101.5. You have the pulse. I'd say the state of...
And they give you material. And they give... There's two different talk show hosts. There are those that know it all, and no matter what you say, they impose their will on you. Then there are those that listen. And they take in what you have to
There's
say.
There's something to be learned everywhere
yeah.
when it comes to that kind of material, absolutely.
All in the Family, right? There was an episode of All in the Family where Michael Stivic says, you know, every man is my superior, and that I may learn from him. That was a great episode, but it made sense. But the best thing about it, like on the radio, I got an hour talking to people who have made it their lives. So I'm not going to tell you I know more. Let me tell you, the one thing about talk radio, this is my opinion. That I have. I may not know as much as you do. I may not be as learned as you are in the topic. But this, I think, of what I'm reading. We're going to agree or we're going to disagree. You may change my mind. I may change your mind. But this is what I think. Once you understand it's about your opinion, then you can go forward. So as far as, like, you know, what you learn from your listeners, it adds to your knowledge. I did a thing on, should servers get a raise? They were getting $2.15 an hour. They hadn't had a raise in 10 years. And I'm doing this, and I'm thinking, oh, this blows. They're going to line up behind me. I'm going, you guys got to get a raise. How dare they not give you a raise? And a guy calls in and goes, shut up. We don't want the raise. If they think we're getting more money, they won't tip as much. And I'm like, you know, but you learn. But if I come in like, oh, you don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what I'm talking about. You sit on your fat ass and talk to me. You know what I'm talking about.
But see, this practical way of thinking that you've developed. I mean, I'm honored because you actually think practically. Most people in the world today don't think like this.
That's why we have you here to teach them.
How do you find when you try to teach people this way of thinking?
I don't. I just do it. And if they catch on or they want to learn, you can't teach people who don't want to learn. You can't teach people who know it all. Those are the people you don't have to worry about. Think about it, right? So you're starting out, I can't do it that way. Good, you shouldn't. That was the playing field.
Many in your listener group, they come to me for financial advice, and they have...
Well,
six figures, credit card debt, things, going to Disney World, taking their kids 3 days, three times a year, and all these folks. Why is that happening today, but it wasn't like that when you grew up, where people were just spending and never saving?
Back then?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I was a kid. You're thinking you're a kid, you want to go out and live life.
But you've provided for your family. Yeah. You've done all this stuff practically. A lot of people, they don't do that. It's all about them.
Well, you gotta think in terms of now. I mean, there's a lot to be said for the other side too. You know, you live your life and you enjoy every minute. But you gotta think ahead. So you gotta take the steps now. Like you said, you know, first you gotta get a lot of money, then you gotta figure out how you're gonna spend it. And you set yourself up for the rest of your life.
What have you learned about investing? Where does Steve Travelese
put? What have I learned about investing?
Yeah. Where does Steve Travelese put his money?
Put a lot of radio stock.
Right.
Work out.
Did you?
That worked out very well.
Steve, it's been a pleasure because meeting somebody who's actually practical in radio is just, honored. I am absolutely honored.
To meet you, man.
A lot of people out there could learn a lot just from listening to you on what you just talked about, because everybody can do this if they want.
Sure.
We talk about you're not going to get rich in a minute, but you can get rich slowly as long as you take the things and listen to what other people are telling you. Is that
absolutely
what you're saying?
Absolutely.
Because most people, a lot of people don't. They say they know it.
Well, that's a good thing.
Right.
Let them know it.
Yeah. So the way we like to end our show with is one of the immortal people. You remember Mr. Casey Kasem?
Yeah.
What did Casey used to end his show with?
Oh, reach for the stars.
Right.
Keep your feet on the ground.
Keep
your
crown.
And
reaching for the stars. And that's how we like to end our show. So, Steve, we thank you. It's been a pleasure being here on the Practical Guy Hour.
There you go.
Thank you.
We roll a credit.
Hey, if you guys have any questions or comments, if you want to leave a review for this podcast, you can do so on iTunes. You can also get in touch with us right here at practicalguy.com. We'd like to thank you for sharing your precious time with us today. Our goal, again, is to educate and entertain you. So let us know how we're doing with that by going to practicalguy.com. You can also call the Practical Guy himself at 1-877-451-4141. That's toll free, 877-451-4141. Tune in again next week for more about money management for your street
and not Wall Street.
Follow the Practical Guy on Twitter at The Practical Guy. Be sure to like the Practical Guy Facebook page and visit practicalguy.com. This podcast is a production of River City eMarketing. So check out rivercityemarketing.com for podcast production and distribution, copywriting, social media, digital video editing, illustrations and storyboards, animated videos, and all of your marketing needs. The Practical Guy, Money management for your street, not Wall Street.